Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles, but plenty of swooning librarians. Blah, blah, blah.
Librarians!
Maybe I'll be as good a DM as David one day.
Drink. I haven't opened a beer yet. I need to open a beer before we...
Libations for the librarians. Drink.
Librarians!
What a lovely country.
I would love it if librarian was a subclass of barbarian, but they just beat someone over the head with a book.
Oh my god!
But also, librarian sounds like an Iberian, which is like a Spanish thing.
Yes!
Yeah, because Iberia is a peninsula. It was a peninsula back in the 15th century, which the Moors had overtaken at one point. So before Spain was Spain, there were little individual kingdoms, and Iberia was part of that landmass, which included a bit of France.
History with
Dallas. This gets my goat. Every time someone mentions a bit of history, I'm like, take two.
I think all that should stay in there.
Yeah, which, fun fact, the Moors are the inspiration behind Enkidu's design.
Oh, really? Maybe I should be reading some Moorish history then.
I'll be so excited.
Fun fact, there is no music on Instagram stories that contains either Daryl or Bailey, but there are three songs called Enkidu.
Wow. That's a fun fact.
That is incredible. I wasn't expecting that.
Another time, I'll tell you why I know that.
But we'll have to come back for episode 3 to find that out.
Together, but okay. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Okay. Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles, but plenty of swooning librarians for Roxmeyer Starnie.
Ooh. Yeah, get in there, Mum.
Yeah! Mama got get big!
My name is Daryl, and I am once again your Dungeon Master for tonight's continuation of our adventure in Wisteria Vale for our Candlekeep edition, and I'm delighted to have the Maestani family back with me. So say hello, Maestanis.
Hello!
Could you reintroduce yourselves for our listeners?
Absolutely. I'm Grace, and I am playing Ray Maestani.
Maestani.
Yeah, no. Maestani, thanks, Mum. And I am a dragonborn, a swashbuckling rogue, and I might decide on a voice for her this set, so you never know. See.
I'm David. Hello. I'm going to be playing Dar Maestani. He is a blue chromatic dragonborn and a Circle of Dreams druid. I can't remember the voice I did last time, so we'll see what happens. Yay! I might end up sounding a lot like whatever Grace chooses.
That's fine. They're twins.
The fun
twins.
Of twins. Twins,
twins, twins, twins, twins, twins, twins, twins, twins.
I'm going to interrupt the singing by saying, hi, I'm Ben, and I am playing Dax Thunder Maestani.
He's not called Thunder, he's just called Dax.
He's called Thunder.
No, he's not.
Leave him Thunder. Alone, okay?
Dax is a sapphire gem dragonborn, not blue, sapphire gem, from the Unearthed Arcana that Wizards of the Coast released, and he is an aberrant mind sorcerer from Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. I can't remember his voice either, so he'll probably end up sounding like Orin.
Hi, I'm Vicky. I will be playing Rox Maestani, otherwise known as Mum. I'm a dragonborn as well, and I am a warlock. I'm not going to lie, I'm not entirely sure which type of warlock I am, but I came on last time feeling very frenzied and very unsure of what was going on. I feel much calmer tonight, so she's going to be a bit more grounded.
Nice.
But no less slutty.
That's a promise.
And with that in mind, I'll go check the head librarian's relationship status. And in the meantime, we should play the theme tune. So, previously, we were introduced to the Maestani family, an adventuring family who were entrusted a delicate mission by Rilia Lyodon, a contact of Rocks and a wizard for the Harpers, an organisation of spies and spellcasters who combat oppression throughout the realm. Their task was to journey to the Citadel of Candlekeep and locate a book called The Curious Tale of Wisteria Vale. Once located, they were to enter the demiplane within the book and cure Rilia's dear friend and hero, Errant Quill, and cure him of his corruption. After a few hiccups with the gate guard and brief flirtations with the people of the island, the Maestanis managed to gain access to the Candlekeep library, solve the riddle of the entry spell, and were transported to a lush, sleepy village within the demiplane of the book. Though surprised by their sudden appearance, the Maestanis were greeted cordially by the villagers of the realm. However, once they arrived, things took a curious turn as they heard a voice inside their heads commenting about "they shall not interfere." And that's where we left it. So, you've arrived, you've met the villagers, and the weather changed all of a sudden. You heard thunder in the sky, but the temperature hadn't changed and there's no rain.
I've also... in my notes, it just says clicking people.
Yes. With Dar's passive perception, you can hear a clicking sound from the commoners.
And Dar kind of sidled over to Ray to say that he heard the clicking. So can I investigate whether the clicking and the lack of rain perhaps put something in my mind?
Is that a spider sense check? I'd ask if you choose one or the other.
Because I think there's I think the reason they're clicking is related to there being no actual rain.
So are you investigating the people?
The people, yeah.
Yeah, go on, make an investigation check.
I rolled a 10, so that is a dirty 20.
Can't beat the twins. We see all, we know all.
Yeah, you can't get past these twins.
You kind of just peer a bit closer at the people, especially as they're picking up one of the villagers from off the ground after she was surprised by your appearance. As they're picking the stuff that she dropped some bread and she's picking that stuff up. Every time they bend over and move, you kind of hone your senses a bit, and you can hear the clicking. And it's every time they move. It's really strange. But you look a bit further and you think, what is up with that? But on the surface, they look normal, but you can hear the clicking sound, and it's whenever they move.
Have they got arthritis?
Ray is going to go up and try and help them with picking up the food.
Yeah.
But she's also, I kind of want her to accidentally knock into somebody a little bit.
Yeah, you can absolutely do it.
Oh, yeah, hey, come on, let me help you out with that.
I said, oh, thank you. Thank you, kind lady. Oh.
Oh, I slipped. Deception.
With disadvantage.
Make a perception check as you touch them.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that is a 10.
That's a 10. But that's fine. You brush into them, and like the woman has her sleeves rolled up from working the day, and you notice as your hand like brushes hers as you steady yourself, her skin is very cold to the touch.
Ooh.
It's cold. Even though you feel maybe this is due to you being dragonborn, that you have like your body temperature is naturally quite hot. Hang on. Daryl does not know whether lizards have warm body temperature because of their blood or it's cold.
Lizards are cold-blooded IRL.
Cold-blooded IRL.
Yeah. But does that transfer to Dragonborn though?
This is our world, guys.
This is our world. You can make this up.
What do you think?
Yeah, Daryl.
You're god of this world.
I will say, considering that you've just changed atmosphere from going from one world to the other, you are regulating like maybe a bit warmer than usual as you're trying to figure out what's going on. You're kind of trying to get your bearings.
Sticking your tongue out.
Trying to taste the weather. That's a thing. If you have that, and I say for Dara as well, with your high perception, you know the feeling you get when you know the rain is coming, the air pressure is there, and like you can smell the dampness coming. You don't smell that at all. But you can see that there are dark clouds in the sky, and you heard a rumbling of thunder. And Ray, you feel the cold skin of the commoners around you. So,
and the food that I'm helping pick up, does it look like real food?
Yeah, four big loaves of bread.
Yeah. Smells like bread.
Very, very fresh.
All right. Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad I helped you pick that up. Sorry. Clumsy. Butterfingers. Just going back to my family. Okay. Bye.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
She kind of goes up to her family and is like, I don't think they're real. I don't think anybody would be that polite naturally.
Yeah, I think
and
right.
They're really cold to the touch. Oh. So,
shall I see if there's any magic going on?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I've literally lost track of how many spell slots I have. I'm sure it's fine. Yeah, should I do that?
If you want.
If you've got the resources, Mum.
It's Vicky being so tentative and unsure. I'm going to cast Detect Magic on the person that Ray's just been with to see, if there's stuff going on.
Okay.
Please.
Sure. You don't have to roll for detect magic, do you? You just like, it's just there.
No.
You cast detect magic and you get nothing back. There's, in fact, like, just there's no magical activity within the area. Maybe whatever trinkets you guys got on as part of your, equipment, that might ping off towards you rocks, but... And there's nothing from the villagers.
Well, whatever it is, it's not magic.
Good to rule it out.
I mean, this whole place is kind of magic anyway, isn't it? But, like, not in
that
way.
Yeah, that's true.
Are we in, like...
We're in the book, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we're in the book. In the book.
The trap.
In the play.
Yeah, which is the trap, I assume, that they mentioned at the end of the play. It was like, this is... Eric Quill's been trapped in this. This is, like, constructed to keep him away.
The play say something about like a demiplane or something.
Yeah. Maybe this is it.
Mm.
Also, there's this ball going on tonight.
And there was a ball in the play too.
Yeah.
Maybe we're in the world of the play.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So would that be why they're not real?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of a left field idea, but do we want to maybe see if they bleed? not injure them like big time, but can't do any harm.
Well... I mean, we should stab them, Mum.
Touch them and they felt cold. Like and Dar heard some like clicking and stuff. I think they're like made of metal or mechanical or something. Maybe.
Shall I try and talk to one? Hang on, is the one nearby?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them kind of around you. Some of them have started to like dwindle off as they see that you guys are huddled together, not really talking to them. They've left off. The lady with the basket is started to drift off. There's one child. Kind of like curiously looking at you with a cheeky smile on his face.
Okay, Dax is going to look at the child and using his telepathic speech, he's going to form a telepathic link with the kid so that the kid can also reply and say into the kid's head, hello.
Who is it? Who's speaking? Who's that? Is it you, Renica? Renica?
Oh.
Renica, I swear, I've been good today. I've been good. I've been good. I haven't done anything. I haven't gone to the manor when I wasn't supposed to. I've been good.
Yes, it's me, Renica.
Oh no! And the kid just runs, runs. He just runs.
Dax, what did you say to him?
Okay, he kind of freaked out when I went into his mind.
Yeah, we saw that.
And he said, "Is that you, Renica?" Is what he said. And then I said, "Yes." And then he said, "I've been good. I haven't been into the manor." And then he just kind of ran.
Yeah, the lady with the basket kind of turns and sees the kid run off, and she looks back at you and like she's looking a bit shaken, like, "Oh, what? What happened there? What's going on?" And then a few other villagers that are walking by have stopped as well. They noticed the kid run off.
Oh, don't mind him. This is my youngest. He likes to growl at people. He thinks he's some sort of dog, don't you, Dax? You've got to. You must excuse him.
Right. He's a cheeky one. That one. You know, he likes to sneak into the manor. He knows that Renica doesn't like it, and Quill's asked him to stop.
Who's Renica?
Oh, Renica. He was quite a unique one. And this person, like, is a tall man, simple clothes. He's got a hatchet and some wood in a sack. And he's like, well, and he's visibly looking uncomfortable a bit. But he's like, he gave us right fright when he first showed up. Big eyeball thing with eyeballs everywhere. It was terrifying. Terrifying thing. Yeah, like that. No. Yeah, Vicky held up Xanathar's guards, everything. Yeah, big eyeball monster. But Quill was there. He came and he spoke to Renica, and you know, he said he would take care of it and keep him calm. And yeah, Renica is in the manor, and he lives there now with Quill. In fact, they're hosting the party together, so as long as we don't show up uninvited and don't disturb him, he's quite peaceful. He doesn't really disturb us.
How do we get an invitation to this ball?
Oh, you're welcome to come. Like, everyone in the village is welcome to come. That's the thing about Quill. He's so generous, so open. His doors is usually open on his own terms. You know, he does like his solitude.
And Quill and Renica, they're like allies now.
Oh, well, I don't think allies is the word. I guess they kind of cohabit. And I don't poke into these kind of things. And he lowers his voice and he comes over. But I think there are some kind of terms or conditions or something. Because Renica was just, he's a bit scary. You could see him in dreams and stuff.
Wow, that is scary. Mm.
But
you see him in your dreams?
Yeah, he'd visit our dreams.
Is that how Renica arrived, through your dreams? Or like, did a Renica arrive like we did?
Kind of like you did. He just appeared out of nowhere one day. And then all of a sudden the weather got strange.
Oh.
Okay.
And Quill, before he came, did he change when this Renica came or?
Well, Quill was here before Renica.
Yeah.
Quill's been here for about a year now. He's really settled in.
And did he change when Renica got here, or is he just sort of similar but has this funny little friend?
Yeah, I guess he's been the same. He's always been very nice, very hospitable, and very calm, very in control. For him to befriend this eyeball creature is quite impressive.
When all the like thunder and everything happened, like, did you all hear a voice? Because I heard a voice in my head.
Dax is just going to speak into the guy that's talking to his head and just go, like this.
Oh, is that you? Oh, that's an interesting trick. Huh? No.
I heard a voice that said, visitors or something like that, they shall not interfere.
Newcomers in my domain, they shall not interfere.
That is exactly what it sounded like, Mum.
Thanks.
Hatchet Man, did you hear that too?
The other guy is like kind of like backing away like, no, I didn't hear that. Besides, when Renica speaks, we can't even understand it. Doesn't really talk like what we're talking.
Oh.
You know, not the same language, you know?
Okay, so maybe, so that voice wasn't Renica, but you never heard that voice before?
No.
What does his voice normally sound like to you?
He looks around a bit. He has a little, kind of nervous little grin. He's like, it's kind of like,
cool.
Kind of. Yeah.
Is it anything that we recognise or is it just sounds?
Gosh. Does anyone... No, I can't give away that language, can I?
Should we tell you what
Shall we tell you what languages we speak?
Yeah. You speak?
It will be a short list for me. Common, Draconic, Telepathy.
Mine is the same, but without telepathic.
Mine's got a Leonin as well.
I've got Common, Draconic, Druidic, Elvish, and Sylvan. I got all the Fae things.
Hang on one second. I'm just going to check how many spell slots I have because I am casting them like a sorcerer.
I think you only
two.
Have...
Two or three?
Two?
Oh.
You only might have three, Brian.
Daryl saying Darryl's. That he only has two
Warlocks
as Zinkidu.
Only have two spell slots.
At level 11, is that right?
Oh, really?
At level 11, I think you have three maybe, at level 11.
Also,
you need a short rest, man.
We probably had a short rest in the carriage.
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't an hour in the carriage.
Okay, no, maybe we didn't. No,
then I won't cast tongues.
Because you have no spell slots left.
Hello, Warlock.
Nope.
Learning to play new characters.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Vicky.
Level 11.
Right.
I think Warlocks have... Did have three spell slots? By
three.
Yeah, no, I just checked. It is three. So, yeah.
We need to have a short rest.
Oh, there you go. I've cast three, yeah.
Already.
You ain't in Juno anymore.
Spell slots for days.
I don't have tongues, I'm afraid, so I can't help on that one.
I think I do.
But yeah, I do not understand.
So you said that that Quill just arrived like a year ago as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He kind of just wandered in.
Oh, no, like us as well, just like woof, and arrived. Well,
not so much as so like that. He was just kind of just wandered in one day, and here he was.
What was life like before he arrived? Who lived in the big house up there?
Nobody.
How long have you lived here?
Me, I've been here all my life.
Do you know how long your life is?
Yeah, I'm 36 years old.
Oh.
It's quite old.
Shut up, Dar.
I've got some wood to be chopping.
It's so old.
Maybe I'll see you at the party later on.
Yeah. What was your name?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my name's David.
David. Oh. It's nice to meet you, David. Maybe I will see you at the party.
Mum's a flirt. Ray goes to shake his hand before he leaves.
Sure, he puts his hatchet in his other hand and he shakes your hand.
Is it cold as well?
Yes.
Cold as ice.
Thanks, David.
You're welcome.
My pleasure. And like, you know, he fixes his collar a bit and he has a bit of a spring in his step as he walks off with his...
Prospect! Prospect!
Flirty rock.
Okay, so Keeper of the Tomes.
Yes.
Do we... Just out of interest, do any of us know what a beholder is? Because what has been described as a eye monster
sounds very
to
much.
Ben sounds like a beholder, but I've got no idea if any of the family know what
I
a
would
is.
Assume you all would know what a beholder is. Yeah.
We're is that the guy on the front of Xanathar's?
Yeah.
Yes.
I got plus six to Arcana. So.
Oh right, I wouldn't have
smacked.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, so new issue then. We're trying to get to Quill. Stab him with this crystal dagger.
Oh yeah, we've got to stab
him. And that might cure him, might kill him. The killer might be the cure. Who knows actually what's happening there. But now we've got an added problem that there might be a beholder in the way of Quill.
Pause.
Who seems to be friends.
What is a beholder?
It's the monster in Xanathar.
No, I know that. But like, are there things that we would know as characters about a beholder? Other than they have a lot of eyes and they are...
You can make an Arcana check if you like.
Me?
Anyone, actually.
Yeah.
Or if you're all trying to discuss this together, I'd say one of you rolls Arcana.
So as characters, would we know what a beholder is?
Yeah, I'd say
you'd know commonly like what they look like and maybe a bit about stories involving them. But,
cool. You
know, for a bestiary, like... information dump.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say you necessarily have all that information. So if you
not necessarily fought one, but we've heard.
Exactly.
We've heard
so
of them. Cool.
If you're trying to figure it out together, one of you can roll Arcana with advantage.
I got the plus six. Does anyone else?
Duh. Go for it.
Go
use
for
your
it,
strengths.
Duh.
I've got a plus six as well, but fine, whatever. Yeah.
Why don't you
brother.
You can do it together.
Listen, I got a natural 20, so
ooh.
I was rooting for you, Dax.
This is meta bickering at this point.
The dice are on my side, Dax. Cool. Sit down.
Okay, before I go into this, just learn a bit more about Dar. So in the Fae realm, did you have some kind of teacher, or did you learn from people about how the Fae realm works and other planes of existence?
Dar's experience of the Fae realm, the Fae wild, as he was stuck there for a year and a day, Mum.
You weren't stuck, you were learning.
Was very much learning, because if he didn't learn, the thing would kill him. So there might have been multiple teachers on the way, maybe like a hag here or like an archfey there, who were like, oh, this is an interesting, weird little child that's come in. Let me teach it. But there was always the paranoia of, if like these creatures, these hags and things are clearly trying to teach me to get something out of me. So I quite often ended up running away from them for fear that they were going to hurt me themselves. That's where I think, yeah, so he has learned lots of little things. He's learned quite a lot from loads of different types of creatures. Suddenly he's just like, I know that's a deadly thing. And suddenly he's like, I know that looks like a trusting thing, but that is also a very dangerous thing if you get too close to it.
Then I would say that in these experiences, a boulder has been mentioned to you. Maybe as a thing to make you obedient, to pay attention when you're trying to be taught. But a beholder, best to your knowledge, are incredibly dangerous, very isolationist, and they have the ability to kind of like travel between planes of existence and dream themselves into other realms. They can enter your mind, speak telepathically, very, very dangerous, scary powers. But they don't like company. They like to, they're very territorial as well. So while they can be nasty, not many people survive encounters with them to be experts on them, but like you've heard enough stories to know to be cautious.
Okie dokie. Yeah, I explained that to everybody.
So the fact that he's shacked up with Quill is weird, right?
That's weird in itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
But it is also,
unless it's like puppeting.
I mean, Quill. It could be in control of Quill. We don't know what Quill is or what Quill can necessarily do, so it might be the other way around.
And Quill has been like banished here?
Because he was turning nasty, right?
Yeah, because he was like, he touched the gem thing.
Yeah, I think like this whole thing that we're in is like a construction maybe of the Harpers. Like it said at the end of the play that they wanted to prevent Vargen, obviously Quill, from hurting anybody else while they were working on the cure. So they've banished him to this demiplane. Mm-hmm. I mean, I might be completely wrong.
No, it's like an allegory for real life, this story.
Yeah. So this is where Quill's been banished to.
Yeah.
We've got the cure, and now, you know, that's why nobody's come to do this before.
Is there someone in this play who is an equivalent of this Renica?
There was the archfey towards the end of the play. There was also Lord Rathmore from the beginning.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an equivalent, or maybe it's just something else that got drawn to the power. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, this Lord Rathmore, he wanted drink, food and a place for him and his retinue to stay with Vargen, right?
Yeah. And then he burnt down the village because he didn't like it.
Maybe this is that village.
So that's the question. If we've stepped into this demi world to find Quill in it, have we started the play? And if Quill is going to be Vargen and Renica could be a stand-in for Rathmore, does that mean bad things are about to happen? Or has all of that happened and this is just a world that's like hidden in the play and that's all history here?
Well, it's a bit different because at the start, Vargen was a boy and was helping out on a farm and things, and I don't know, but yeah, maybe.
So it started out, he would perform in the tavern, right?
Yeah.
So obviously with my passive perception of 20, where's the nearest tavern?
The nearest tavern from where you are, it's like northeast. I'd say it's about 5-minute walk.
We check that out. If there's someone performing in there, we know where we are in the play. If not, then we can go to the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like as good a plan as any.
And we can get a glass of wine.
Not for you, Dax.
No.
Too young for
wine.
I
forgot about that.
All right.
Yeah.
To the tavern.
To the tavern.
Cool.
Who wants to take point?
Take point.
On the tavern. Chatting with people.
Me.
Mum. Yeah.
Oh.
Mum's the one with the charm.
I can't believe you would doubt me, Dar.
Well, I don't. I just, you know, you tend to maybe, I don't want to say scare people off, Mum. You come on quite strong.
When you're older, you'll understand.
I think I understand now.
So we're in the tavern, yeah?
Yeah, you head northeast through the village. Yeah, there's a straight path that takes you there. It's a marketplace. It's a very small tavern. It's very, very humble. Yeah, it's got a sign of a lion and a pen nib in its mouth. It's just called the Leonis Quiver.
Ooh.
You walk in, looks like whatever you imagine a very humble tavern or pub to be. However, there is one difference. You walk in, and while you expect the familiar smells of alcohol or, just food, you actually don't smell that. Instead, you smell like soil and sweat and the dampness of rain inside the tavern. And Dar, as your senses are so particularly keen, you kind of stop and you frown. And then you back up, you go outside. You kind of sniff the air a bit. Seems normal. You go back inside the tavern. And all of that I just described, the sweat, the rain, is in the tavern. It's really strange.
Something's not right here.
It's like it's backwards.
Like, outside is cozy and dry, even though we can see rain clouds above, and then inside is...
Feels like it's outside, and maybe a bit dirty, but not in like a tavern dirty kind of way.
Yeah, not like puke and booze. Yeah,
almost makes you miss the smell of puke and booze.
Yeah.
We should find where the smell of puke and booze is.
No.
Why don't we buy some booze and puke?
Let's buy some booze.
Yeah.
You enter in the tavern, I guess, to go get a drink or whatnot?
Yeah.
Mm. Yep. Drink will help us think.
It's quite quiet. There's maybe three people altogether. There's two sat at the bar. There's one in the corner scribbling notes, writing to themselves. There's a barman. I say he's quite tall, quite pale skin. He's broad, bald head, apron tied around him. He's just polishing a glass and just very meticulously lining him up as well. And he sees you. He says, "Ah, hello, Flint. Welcome. What can I get for you?"
Three wines and a beer, please.
Four wines.
Are you two having wine as well, then?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Then that.
Four wines.
No. I'm having a beer. I was making sure the beer was for me.
Okay, three wines, one beer. Yes?
Yeah.
Not particular. You just let me choose.
No.
You can choose anything you want, my darling.
I like you, Flint. You can have very special. And he kind of goes up on his tiptoes, even though he's quite tall. He drags this beer from the top shelf and he says, "Yeah, this one is a fairly special. Beer of shakes. It's my favorite." And he gets
beer shakes. Yes, Darryl.
Beer of shakes. From out of town. Very nice imported. And he gets gets a bottle of wine, uncorks it. He pours very curious colour. It's not red. It's kind of orange colour. He goes, "This also from out of town. Very, very, very interesting vintage from place fairly far away. I forget the word. Here you go. That is one gold."
Not it.
One
sure.
gold for four. I ain't playing. It's fine.
Not for me.
No?
No, I mean, I'll drink it. I'm just not paying.
Oh, no. Mum slides a gold across the table.
Thank you. And he tips you a wink.
I assume I have gold. I don't think I got that gold in my character creation.
I'd say between you, you've got 500 gold altogether.
Oh, okay.
Between you as a pot. You know, you're established adventurers. You're level 11. You must have some money, right? So, for the sake of this, you've paid one gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're now £499.
Yeah. So mum slides a gold across and then slides another one and says, "And whatever you're having, darling."
Thank you. And he'll just tip your wink back and he puts the gold into pot beneath the counter that you can't see. You enjoy.
Dax?
Yes?
I don't know what you're thinking, Ray, but I think actually maybe...
Dax should have some wine. I think so. I think, we are on the same wavelength, brother.
Yeah, I think it's only fair.
What?
The youngest, as the first time you've had some wine.
You get that down, yeah.
Enjoy it, lads.
I don't know if I want to.
Thunder.
Drink
thunder.
It.
Okay, Dax will pick up the wine glass and then just gingerly poke his tongue into the glass. I imagine dragonborns have got kind of lizardy tongues. Yeah. just a little bit. Just a little tiny bit.
Yeah, you do so and you get some faint citrusy notes, but that's all you get because it was just a little tip of the taste. You didn't drink it.
Yummy.
You said you wanted to drink wine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Dax, if you want to drink wine, you've got to show us you can drink wine. Otherwise, we won't be buying you any more. So this is your chance to prove
this
us.
Is it. If you want it.
Right. You can actually drink
Now's
wine.
Now's your chance.
Yeah, I do want to drink wine. Okay, hang on. And he'll take a swig.
Peer pressure. Roll for peer pressure.
I know, right?
Completely succumbing to peer sorry. Pressure.
Mum's leaving them to it and she's chatting up the bartender. I'm just letting them have this conversation.
Dax, make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, we're the okay. worst.
I'm joking. I'm joking. Now you take a swig of the wine. Yeah, you get those citrusy notes again, but this time you're able to taste it a bit more deeper. The texture is quite it's quite full. It washes over your whole tongue. You've never tasted wine before. If you had some idea, you'd be like, is this wine or is it juice? What is it? It's not as thick as juice, but it's a lot thinner in texture, but it tastes great. You like this drink.
Is this what wine tastes like? This is quite nice.
Is this where Dax becomes an alcoholic?
Yeah. Dax is a bad
one. Dax will have another sip. We're like,
yeah.
See, wine's nice. I don't know why you've told me I couldn't drink wine.
Can like I roll a medicine check just to see like if anything's changing about him or...
I think that would be perception.
Perception. Okay. I mean, really, I should be asking, what do you think? What do you think?
He looks fine to me so far.
Da, do it.
Yeah, he looks fine.
I mean, I rolled a 23 for perception.
He looks normal to you. He looks absolutely fine. In fact, you can tell he's enjoying it. Maybe his tail is wagging or something. Mm. But he's quite enjoying this new sensation.
Seems fine, Ray. Seems fine.
Okay. All right then. Ray clinks Dar's drink and she takes a swig herself.
You get the same sensation, like citrusy, full-bodied.
I have drunk wine before.
Yeah.
Is...
Oh, you've drunk wine before? This is complete. This is something very different then.
Is it like orange squash?
It's kind of like orange squash, but it's definitely alcohol. It's got that like ping to it.
It's not orange squash. It's orange squash.
But yeah, you know, this is wine, but like you cannot fathom how it tastes the way it does.
That is weird.
What?
It doesn't taste like normal wine. Tastes alcoholic. It's like everything sensory here is a bit messed up. Like if I touched anyone, they were cold. We're smelling the rain indoors. Wine doesn't taste like wine.
People click.
Can Mum reach across the bar and give the barman a... smack her on the lips and see what that feels like.
I say, like, there is a bar between you. Like, how are you doing this? Are you grabbing him and kissing him or, like...
In a sort... She's not going to, like, grab him in a non-consensual way. In a sort of, like, pulling him in close and, like, letting him do the last 10%.
Okay, you can try. I mean, he's working. He's not watching you drink. He's working behind the bar, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So,
what do I need to roll?
Tell me what you do.
She's been doing a bit of persuasion.
Flirt check.
Make a charisma check, and I will roll perception to see how well he notices you.
11? No, 12.
Natural 2. So he's absorbed in his work. He's just ordering his bowls. He's just Is anyone watching him, or are they just drinking?
I've sniffed the drink, but I've not touched it. I'm watching Ray and Dax to see how long it takes them to pass out.
Yeah, I think Dax is quite interested in the drink, so
yeah, fine,
paying attention.
Okay. Yeah, so he's just working, polishing bottles, reordering stuff, and checking his taps. And what are you doing? You're trying to like get his attention, right?
I'm trying to like lure him into a tryst and give him a kiss on the lips to see if that feels like a kiss.
Oh my gosh, how is this going to go? But yeah, what are you doing then? How would you do that?
Flirting tactic.
Yeah, like just sort of like engage. You can tell how long has it been since Vicky's flirted with a stranger. So she's going to like lock eyes. She's going to raise one scaly eyebrow and like just give him a bit of a wink and then just sort of lightly hold his clothes and pull him in close and then just sort of like... linger.
I'd say, okay, as he turns, after putting a bottle back on the shelf, he turns and he sees you do that. He sees you, like, pulling him in, and he will grab his apron, put it back, and be like, oh, I'm sorry, friend. Is there something else I could help you with? What are you doing?
Nah. Mom just sort of, like, goes and joins them at the table, a bit dejected.
Okay, maybe that is less drink for you, yes?
From his point of view is just like a woman that's just come in, just ordered a beer, and then just like kind of try to grab it.
Why, Vicky, totally understand what he's thinking.
And I rolled a dexterity saving throw and got a natural 20.
Oh, it's it's odd behaviour, I acknowledge. Just trying to build a character here, guys.
Yeah. Mum, how does your beer taste?
She takes a sip.
It's quite light. It's quite frothy. It's not bitter at all. It's like lager.
Tastes like beer. Why? What does the wine taste like?
I have mine. And I slide mine over.
Dad doesn't want to drink his.
Are you not drinking your wine?
Well,
are you a scaredy cockatrice? Scaredy cockatrice.
I mean, that's not I'm just worried, Mum. I'm worried because they've had some and they say it tastes weird. Obviously, Dax don't know nothing, but I just thought you're quite experienced. You've travelled. You've tried a lot more wines and this one might knock you all cold out. And I just thought it'd probably be better
if drink it.
I see.
You're too scared to drink it.
Stays awake. That's all I'm worried about.
She takes a big swig and is like, "Duh, my son, I'm..." disappointed.
I'm worried. Okay. I am worried. I'm very worried you're all going to collapse or be turned into something. All right. And I'm just going to try and keep my wits about me whilst we're in this very...
You've just given me this to drink.
Yeah, well, you paid for it.
Why did you give it to me if you're worried about it?
Because it might be fine.
So Mum has taken a sip.
Yeah, you take a sip, you get the same sensation, like a kind of citrus, get a scent of alcohol in it. It's got the same texture as wines that you've tasted in the past, but it's very different. You've never tasted this combination before, but you think it's probably wine.
I'll put the rest in a hip flask.
Maybe it's wine made with an orange. Orange wine.
We were here to see if someone was performing in this tavern, which clearly they are not.
Oh, yeah. It's very dead inside.
Maybe you should ask your friend if Quill performs here sometimes.
I'm not allowed to talk to him anymore.
Is the barman still around?
Yeah, he's still there. If you've been looking at him, you notice like he'll flick his head in your direction every now and then just to keep his eye on rocks.
I will go up to the bar.
Yes, Flint. That one is your relative?
My mom.
Your mother? Oh, Flint, I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
Please tell her if she needs to maybe kiss men, she must get consent first.
What?
Probably.
Yeah. I will telepathically speak back to Mum. Mum!
Yes?
And then carry on talking. And then break the link. Does someone play music in this bar ever?
Oh, well, there is sometimes. There is Lyra. She's a very good bard. She plays a harp, but she's not playing tonight. I mean, everybody is probably getting ready for the ball, yes? For Quill's ball.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
no performance tonight. Everyone's going to be at the manor.
Does Quill play here?
No.
Okay.
In fact, he doesn't come.
Oh. Why doesn't he come here?
No, he kind of likes the manor. I mean, the manor is sometimes open for people to come and see him, and you can drink there. You know, I give drink there, like send barrels of wine that I get from the marketplace. But he doesn't come here.
He doesn't? Does he not leave the manor?
Not really, no. Sometimes he goes for a walk. Renneka goes with him sometimes, but...
So he doesn't come to the village?
No, not really.
Okay. Sorry, Mum kissed you. Bye. And I walk away.
Yeah, he kind of like looks a bit confused, but he shrugs and carries on working.
I'll go back to the table and like explain what I've just heard. So he maybe can leave the manor, but he doesn't.
Okay. Mm.
Also, that guy sends up wine. So they probably got wine like this in the manor. That's good.
Oh, you can't have any more though, Dax.
Why not?
Because you had some wine.
At least he's had some. At least it's not a scaredy cockatrice.
Yeah. I will make cockatrice noises in Dar's head.
So are we assuming that with this story, we're at the end of the story, yeah?
Yeah, maybe.
Rather than the beginning.
Or maybe the story isn't playing out. We're just in the world of the story.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because
towards the end of the story, he gets banished to the demiplane.
Right. So this is like the sequel to the story?
Oh.
Yeah. Or like running, like a bit the same.
So, probably makes sense if we try and go to the manor.
Yeah.
Maybe we can sneak in because, you know, they're getting prepared for the banquet. Maybe there's a way we can, you know, pretend we're staff or like in the play, pretend we're performers.
Yeah.
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 Do you think sneaking in is better than just knocking on the door and being like, hello. Because they're saying he's friendly. I mean, I'm...
Yeah.
We're new here.
Exactly. I think either way is going to work, Ray. I'll be honest.
Yeah, the thing that freaks me out is this Renicker, like, if it can get into our minds, if... I don't know.
Yeah.
And Renicker does not want us to interfere, do they?
So maybe keeping a low profile. But then if they've already spoken in our heads, then...
But maybe I can get into Renicker's mind.
I don't think that's a good idea, Dax.
I can, like, go in and be like, ooh, you shall not interfere. Ooh.
Yeah, that sounds...
Terrifying.
Terrifying. Yeah.
Terrifying that you think that could even work.
I tell you what, do you know what? I'm feeling a bit worse for wear. Why don't we hole up somewhere for maybe, I don't know, like an hour or so?
Well, we've already been sitting for like 20 minutes already, right?
Does this count as part of a short rest then?
I mean, we've only been here chilling for a few minutes. I mean, you can stay and drink longer and I'd let that count.
Well, we can sit here and I can finish my wine.
I might just do like, you know, Mum, you need a bit of a rest. Yeah. I might just like...
We'll get ourselves a plan together. What we're going to do, we'll get on the same page and then we'll just do it.
Yeah.
All right.
So are you staying and drinking or you still need to plan?
Kind of got a plan already, haven't we?
We're going to go up and knock on the door and go, hello, we're new and can we come in and hi? Is that the plan?
We're definitely not going to stab you with a crystal dagger.
No, we don't even own a crystal dagger. What? Oh, maybe I should take off my harper badge.
Yes.
The other option is that we kind of do both. So there's a team that presents themselves and there's another team, she shoots a look at Ray, that maybe stays hidden. No, it's not. No, Dar, who's more sneaky? Who's sneaky?
Oh, it's Ray. Ray's more sneaky.
Yeah,
we could split it.
Yeah.
Like, whilst you're having a rest, Mum, like, I don't really need a rest. I could go out, you know, see what's going on in the market, see if there are anybody taking stuff up to the manor and they need somebody to help carry it. We go and carry stuff up as well and then we're pretending we're stuck.
Yeah, if you're happy to do that.
I'm happy to go check it out whilst you have a chill.
I am having a lovely chill.
If you'd rather just sneak up there, Ray, I can make you invisible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally happy to be sneaky and kind of them not know that I'm necessarily here.
If you think you're going to be safe enough.
I think we need to go up together.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying going to look at the market and see if there's somebody we can join. And that could be like our cover, saying we're helping, you know, get ready for the banquet. We heard it's great. We wanted to pull our weight or whatever. But then if we wanted me to be invisible so I can... be a bit sneaky around us, then that could be a really interesting
idea. We'll save that for later. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to have up our sleeves.
Exactly. Please don't die.
Yeah. I'll just go into the market. I'll get you some food. Mum, can I have some gold?
Gold.
Cool.
Can I have some gold?
So many gold.
Gold.
Yeah.
I don't need any gold, but...
I wasn't offering you.
All right.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. Hello, dear listeners. We hope you're enjoying this romp in Candlekeep as much as we are. If this is your first time listening to No Small Roles and you love a bit of actual play D&D, why not go and check out our main campaign? There are three tasty story arcs for you to sink your teeth into. And if you are a regular No Small Roles listener, this is a great opportunity to invite your friends to have a listen to this four-episode campaign. Personal recommendations are really the best way to get more listeners, and we are so grateful to all of you who have shared the love. You can also drop us a review on iTunes and places like Podchaser. As I mentioned last week, three of us are currently in actual real-life shows doing the acting for humans like you in the same room. You can find Ben on tour around the UK with Dragons and Mythical Beasts, a spectacular puppet show full of fantastical creatures. Vicky will soon be in A Map to You, an immersive experience of short plays at Longfield Hall. And I can be found at the Vaults Waterloo in Moulin Rouge, a drag-tastic parody mashup and dining experience. By the way, if you're a Patreon, you will find a discount code for Moulin Rouge on both Patreon and the Patreon feed of our Discord. So if you'd like to become a Patreon member, head over to patreon.com/nosmallroles to discover the levels of membership available and a whole range of perks.
To join our Discord server, simply click on the link in the show notes. And for other forms of social media, you will find us at No Small Roles on Twitter and Instagram, and by searching No Small Roles on Facebook. Roles is spelt R-O-L-L-S. Well, that's all from me for now. Let's get you back to the curious tale of Wisteria Vale. I don't know why I said it in that voice. Ray's gonna go out to the market square and just see if it seems like there's a hustle and bustle, that people are taking anything. If, like, she can see that it looks like anybody's starting to take things up to the manor, or looks like it could be supplies for the manor for the ball.
Cool. All you have to do is step outside and they see the market. Lots of things being sold, silks and materials. And yes?
Sorry, just before Ray goes, Dax is going to link up telepathically with Ray.
Nice.
So that
for
the next 11 minutes, as long as you're within 5 miles of me, you can talk to me whenever you want.
Mm. Perfect.
Dara is also going to go and sit by the window and, like, keep a watch from wherever, like, as far as he can see her, but he's not going to follow her out.
I'm assuming that Ray is, like, really good at, like, stealth stuff, right? Or would you like some extra stealthy stuff?
But she's not really being stealthy at the moment. She's just going to look in the market for now.
But does she need some extra stealth? Or is she okay?
I think she's okay. She can't roll. I can't roll below a 23 on stealth.
Oh, okay. Then you can't have my cloak of elven kind to wear then.
Oh.
Wow.
I feel like mum is...
Oh my God.
No, I think she might. I think mum would have offered it and been like, do you want to take this?
Yeah, I mean, just to look fabulous though.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. What does that do, mum?
It gives wisdom and perception checks made to see you have disadvantage, and you have advantage on dexterity and stealth checks made to hide.
Nice.
The cloak basically camouflages you, but you have to have the hood up. Now, don't forget to put the hood up.
Cool. So I'm going to wear the hood and the cloak, go out, kind of swaggering. I'm looking around at all the things that you said are for sale.
Sure.
Yeah. Anything catching my eye, DM, do I?
No, nothing that stands out. But I would say you do notice that it looks like people are starting to pack up. People are starting to pack up and take down. Some of the stores are taken down. It looks like they're leaving for the day, but some of the stores are still open.
Okay. Is there anything that looks like, I don't know, it's like foodie or anything that might be the sort of stall that looks like it could be supplying stuff to the manor?
Like, oh, yeah, most definitely.
For the party.
There's like one or two. I say right next to you is like a stand where they're selling cakes. Cakes of all different varieties and colours, and they're boxing them up. Like some are being wrapped up. It's the end of the day, so they're kind of like separating them.
Hey, there's some good looking cakes there you got going on.
Oh, hello there.
Hi.
Yes. No, it's fine. It's nice to see new people in the village. We don't get those very often. What's brought you here?
It was just kind of lucky, I suppose. We're just, you know, travelling, and we found ourselves just like, almost surprisingly here. Well, it seems like we've landed on the day of a ball, which is pretty cool. Do they happen often?
Yes. No. Not often, no. Master Quill is quite solitary, and he is quite open to having visitors. You know, having a ball and a celebration is quite uncommon, but it's quite welcome for him to be doing so. We're all quite pleased. He's a very secretive person. He's very, very shrouded. There's an air about him. Yeah, he must have had some kind of past.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, definitely. The scar on that face. He's had an adventure, I tell you. He's got some secrets to tell. I wonder if we can get enough alcohol down him, he'll spill the beans.
Yeah. Is there any good, like, rumours or gossip? I love a bit of gossip. Yeah.
Well, there is one story. I don't believe this for a second. There is a story that Quill travelled from another world. I don't believe this for a second. And he fought monsters.
Does sound unbelievable.
Fighting monsters and saving villages and all that. People make these things up. But Quill, of course, he denies these kind of things. He doesn't acknowledge them. He doesn't engage. And I think he enjoys that we like to make these things up and suppose over what his life has been. But he keeps himself to himself. He's ever so pleasant. Ever so pleasant.
That's lovely. Oh, and these cakes look pretty pleasant. You're boxing up. They going anywhere?
Yes, they're going to the ball. Would you like one?
Well, I mean, I'm new. I'm trying to be helpful. I'm wondering, like, do you need anybody to help, you know, deliver these cakes?
Oh, no, perhaps? I've got my boys to help me.
Okay, yeah. When are they taking the things up, your boys?
Oh, right now. The lady points behind you and she sees, you see two guys, big boxes, and they're just carrying their load and going up the hill north of the marketplace and up the hill to the manor.
Oh, great. Well,
you can see that from where you are.
Oh, fantastic. Well, do you know what? Tell you what, how many cakes can I buy for a gold?
Oh, well, there's no need for that. You can put that away. We have a policy. It's past trading hours, and these cakes were baked especially for today, so we can't sell these. So, you know, if you like, you can have them. They're still fresh, but I can't sell these tomorrow, so...
Yeah. All right, well, yeah,
they've got a little
cake.
Date stamped on the bottom of it.
Free cake, amazing, yeah.
I mean, she gives you the box and you turn it around, look at it, because you are sceptical and, like, you do see a date scribbled into it.
how many, like, boxes of cake can I get? Like, how many boxes?
Oh, well, I'll give you this one. I'll save the rest for the party. I mean, if you want more cakes, they'll be there at the party.
At the party.
You know, these are for you as a welcome to Risteria.
Oh, well, that is mighty. That is really lovely of you. Thank you. Thank
You're
you so much.
Very welcome.
She shakes their hand.
Oh, aren't you curious? Oh, she's like, she's surprised by, because she's never met a dragonborn. She's like, oh, you have lovely skin.
Oh, thank you. So do you. Lovely.
Thank you.
And DM, are they cold?
They're cold. How vigorously are you shaking this person's hand?
Oh, very vigorously. I am an athletic, strong shot putter.
As you shake the hand, you hear, you can feel it as well, like the joints in her joints are clicking.
Oh, got a older bit of, how would I say this in a nice way?
Here we go.
you're a bit chilly. Is it? It's quite cold, isn't it, I suppose?
No, it's quite fair weather. I know it looks a bit strange at the moment, you know.
Yeah, it looks like it should be cold, but it doesn't feel cold. But you feel cold.
No, not at all.
Do I feel warm to you?
Not really. I've never met someone who looks like you, so I assume maybe that's you're just naturally a bit colder than the average person.
Ah, yeah. And sorry, because I am a bit of an athlete. I think maybe one day I might go into things like physiotherapy in my future.
Interesting.
I think it might be just like, you know, something that I could do with my life. And I couldn't help but notice a clicking in your arm. Is that an injury, perhaps, that you have?
Clicking?
Clicking, yeah. Like, she shakes her hand again. Don't you hear that?
And she tentatively, like, holds her hand up, like, and like she grabs your hand, like, and what are you shaking her hand?
Yeah, I'm shaking her hand again, like, as vigorously as I did before.
And like, she's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Ah,
I feel absolutely fine.
But that's good for you. That's good for you. I'm just trying to. I'm still training. You know, I don't know. Can I do an insight check?
Yeah, sure. What are you looking for?
If she's really as unaware of the sound of the clicking,
as she
seems to be. That's a 4. Apparently insight's not my strong point.
You can't get a read on this person. I mean, they seem friendly. They seem a bit confused. Your question. They've assured you that they're in perfect health for someone their age. They're just a bit curious about you. Never seen a dragonborn before, but she's enjoying your company.
Lovely. Well, thank you for these lovely cakes. And I do hope that, you know, if you do have any problems, do let me know. I'm, you know, hopefully one day I'm going to help people with their joints and stuff and stretching. I don't really know much about it. I just read about it in a tome about like career prospects. You know, I haven't decided where I'm going in my life. You know, I'm young. Anyway, off now. Bye. And she just goes.
Yeah, you just go. Yeah.
And as she's heading back to the tavern, she's kind of like whispering everything to Dax. Like, I think she's been trying to like keep the communication open. Like, even though I don't know, Dax, can you hear things that she's heard?
I think you can speak telepathically to me. Okay. I don't think I can hear what you hear. But
so basically, like, I've been
telepathically
repeating telepathically everything I've gathered.
Yeah.
Like, that you can have been updating people as I'm on my way back to the tavern.
Yeah. So Dax has been doing that with added comments.
Lovely.
I've occasionally piped up with a, oh, she's shaking her hand again. Oh, she's shaking it really hard this time. Yeah.
Apparently she wants to be a physiotherapist.
Oh. Well, that's nice. Yeah. I can see it.
I've got higher hopes for my girl.
All the cool people want to be a magician.
I've got higher hopes for you too, Dax.
Yeah, I'm going to be the best magician in the world.
So she comes back into the tavern and she's like, well, there's a cake delivery going on. Like, they're a bit ahead already, but like, we could pretend like they'd lost the cake if we want some sort of cover, or we can go sneaky, sneaky. You nearly feeling 100%, Mum?
Am I, Daryl? It's been about an hour.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah, I walked around the whole market.
I can add some exposition. And
no, I'd say, I mean, the matter I'd say for flavour for our listeners, due to the peculiarities of your situation and you trying to figure out what to do and make a plan, I'd say you've been in the pub about an hour, especially as Ray has gone and you've waited for her to come back.
She got really distracted by all the different market stalls.
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
She's come back with one less cake than there should have been in the box.
Yeah. I think I think Dax will have attempted to purloin a cake when they've come back in as well. Like, can I have one?
What about you, Dar? Sure. You going to have one?
Nope. I will watch you all eat the cakes, but I will not be eating one myself. Pulls a little bit of like beef jerky or something out of his pocket and just nibbles on that.
He's that guy.
Yeah.
He's so miserable.
Not miserable, I'm cautious.
I'm going to take my cloak back from Ray because Mum needs it more than Ray, basically.
Yeah, I think you do, Mum. Yeah. You know, but I look good in it.
You look fantastic.
Yeah.
Great. Compliments your skin tone.
Right, so let's see if we can head up. I saw the direction the cake boys went in.
Great.
The bun boys.
So an hour after entering the pub, you leave. You recover whatever resources you can within an hour from first-hand experience. Yes, warlocks receive all their spell slots back.
Yay! I feel much better.
I don't think you had a fight with the gods or anything. You haven't lost any hit points.
No. So, we just wanted Mum to have some spell slots.
Yeah.
She gets those back.
Rox is acting like a sorcerer and needs to know what class she is.
Chill out.
Yeah, chill out.
Have Eldritch Blast.
This is what cantrips are for.
This is what cantrips are for. Yes. So yeah, you leave the Leontis Quill, leave the pub, you head outside. You see like the sun is setting a bit. It's like early evening. The market is emptying out. The stores have been taken down. And you look north and you see a gleaming white building just north of you. Two-story house, gleaming white brick, red rooftop. Two stories. It doesn't look too big, but it is, you know, it's a manor. It's very fancy. It's obviously the most ornate building in the whole of the village. It stands out. And you see that to the north of you. Are you heading there?
Yeah. Are we having some people be sneaky, sneaky? And some people just...
What do you think, guys?
To be honest, even if we're sneaking together, close to each other, like, I could turn Ray invisible. Is that a good idea?
I mean, like, yeah, if you want to keep me secret...
Keep you safe.
Then I can be ready to, you know, make with the stabby stabby should anything happen to you guys.
We'll only have an hour before you show up, though.
Let's do it when we get closer. Yeah. See what the lay of the land's like.
Then we're hour it in, and Ray, you have our back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mum, here are the cakes. Let's see if we can catch up to the cake boys and kind of be like, oh, you dropped one. Oh, we'll help you.
Great plan.
I could be going there being like, I'm going to do magic for you.
Why not? Travelling, you know, helpful people. I think we'd be better at covers, wouldn't we, after all this time?
Dax has put his Harper badge away as well, just saying.
Three of us plus stealthy McStealth face approach the cake boys up towards the manor, yeah?
I would say in the time you spent between Ray getting back and you chatting in the pub, you don't see them.
We'll just approach.
The cake boys could have dropped it. Oh, we don't know where the cake boys are.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cake boys.
Make a perception check. Who? If you're looking for the cake boys.
Ray?
Yeah. Ray? Or with advantage if you're helping her look.
Yeah, can we help Ray?
Yeah.
Yeah, help Ray.
Sure, is anybody...
I mean, do you want me to check?
Let's get Dar. Let's get Dar to be perceptive. He's a perceptive twin.
That is 25.
That's long shot.
Dax just makes cockatrice, scaredy cockatrice noises in Ray's head.
Look, one of us is long-sighted, one of us is short-sighted.
You're looking for the cakes or the boys, right?
Yeah, and generally any movement toward the manor.
You see no movement towards the manor. There's no one about. There might be one or two few people milling about, but they're going into homes or like going into the forest. But no one's moving towards the manor. But you do notice that the clouds ahead have persisted and there is now lightning.
There is lightning.
There is lightning.
And thunder as well. And
thunder.
Yep.
Again, you don't smell or feel the pressure of rain coming. It's just thunder and lightning.
Just there. Just lighting effects. All right, yeah, no cake, boys. So yeah, we're looking. We've got to take the cakes. And the story is, oh, the cake boys must have dropped the cakes. So we're here to give the cakes to you at the door. Also, hello, can we come in? We're new here. Dax is apparently a magician.
I can do tricks. And Dax will make a thunderclap sound.
How loud is it?
Oh, it can be heard 100 feet away.
Oh, God.
Was that a practice or was that you genuinely talking to someone at the manor?
No, that was
a practice.
And me explaining what
was. No. Yeah. I just was checking. I thought I'd missed it. And we'd like skipped ahead.
And when we get close, Ray, am I turning you invisible or are you just going to sneak off? Are you sticking with?
Yeah, like, make me invisible. I'm going to stick with, but be invisible, you know, so they think that you're less of a threat than you are. Mm.
Oh, hang on. Let's do the thing again. And Dax will concentrate on telepathic speech and make a connection again to Ray.
And then I'm just going to tickle Ray right where it gets her the most. Until she turns invisible.
Oh, I hate when you do that. Oh.
Cool. You're invisible.
And now she's invisible. She gets Dar back in like the most like right in the side, like just near the ribs. Like
Stop it.
Cool. So can she roll to give Dax a wedgie?
contested dexterity.
12.
13.
Ooh. Oh. As soon as you feel her touch on you, you've been on guard like, she's going to do something, she's going to do something. Ah, there she is. And your hands go to meet hers and you kind of wrestle and your hands are switching position to get out. And then you just feel this slight tugging and you just jump up a little bit. As she gives you, it's not the most severe, but it's very uncomfortable.
I will just slap at the air with my mage hand, hoping it connects slightly.
She telepathically laughs in his head.
Oh.
As a heads up, if you attack or cast a spell, I'm assuming that wasn't quite an attack.
No.
If you attack or cast a spell, you will no longer be invisible.
Cool. Good to know.
Yeah. Probably should let you know that before you do anything.
Yeah.
So would she have lost invisibility when she touched him?
Nah, it wasn't an attack.
That wasn't an attack.
It was bullying.
That was just...
I think let's go.
Okay, cool. Are you taking the path? Just going straight up?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. The three of you and one invisible. So yeah, you walk up the path. There's not many people about. You walk up to the manor gates. It's just right. It's very close to the village. It's not secluded. There's no like gates or anything. It's just there. Top of a slight incline. Takes you fewer than 5 minutes to get there. It's been right in front of you this entire time. Yeah. And the front door is there. It's about 7 foot tall. Red doors. Golden handles, round handles. Again, two signs of lions with quills in their mouths are atop, are like kind of embossed into the door. Anyone do anything?
Do they look like the pub sign?
Yes, they're identical.
I'm gonna knock or ring, whatever looks like is the given way of getting someone's attention at the door.
Cool.
Oh, I mean, no, sorry, before that, I'm assuming that I've just assumed that they're locked. Like, if we open them, do they open?
Oh, right, the doors are shut. Oh, right. Are you trying to open the door?
Yeah, if it does open.
Okay, you turn the handle, it doesn't open.
Then I knock.
Mom, you meant to knock first.
I did.
Cool, you knock, you wait. You wait about 30 seconds, turns to a minute, no answer.
Dax knocks again with the mage hand.
You knock again, you wait 30 seconds, a minute, minute and a half, no answer.
Huh? Aren't they meant to be having a party?
Maybe not through the front door. Let's see if we can find some sort of back entrance, delivery entrance.
Yeah.
Oh, is there a window we can look in?
Yeah, there are, let's say from where you are, there are four windows. There are two immediately either left or right of you, two like arch windows. And like, I'd say about maybe like 40 feet in either direction. There's another set of windows left or right of you.
Ray, do you want to go and look in a window? Because you're invisible.
Dax, don't Ray say it to... in case they're listening.
Ray replies back telepathically, yeah, I'll go look in a window.
Sneakily.
Then Dax will psionic mind, using the other psionic mind ability he has along with telepathic speak, into Dar's head and just go,
they shall not interfere, newcomers in my domain.
I cast primal savagery and just like make my teeth grow, my like eyes harden a little bit, and just like make a snapping motion toward Dax.
Oh. I'm then going to cast Mage Hand to just knock Dar back.
So I have used reliable talent for my investigation. So that is a non-natural 20.
Cool. You sidle up to the window. You look inside. Which direction did he go?
To the left of the door.
Cool. You go to the left of the door. You can, like, the curtains are drawn a bit, but you can see, like, there's, from what you can see, is a corridor. This corridor, deep red cart, royal red curtain, like a rug, leading from the doorway into the manor. You look slightly to your left, there's a big staircase that's going up, like polished marble flooring. There's a few like suits of armor at the end of the corridor that you can see. Doesn't look like anyone walking about that you can see though.
Like, yeah, she's looking in there, she'd expect to see like hustle and bustle, and there's like nothing. Okay, she goes and looks, like, just double checks on the window on the right of the door as well, just to see if like there's anything.
But the one just to the right of the door, you get the same view. You've just gone either side of the door, but just to the right. Instead, from what you can see that the corridor turns to the right a bit, and there's a corner. There's some lights. There are lights on in that direction, but that's it. There are no people.
She does telepathically into Dax's mind, says there's no people inside these windows. Like, there's nothing going on. Like, they're preparing for a ball. There's nothing going on. I think let's go, like, and she's basically using, like, to so that nobody knows that there's an invisible person with them, she's using like Dax as a like mouthpiece. Like, let's go around the building, let's see what we can find. Or shall I scout ahead? What do you think?
It doesn't seem to anyone to look at us anyway.
Yeah, good thinking.
Let's all go.
Let's go.
Unless we just try and open this door and send Ray in.
If you can get it open, Mum.
I do have thieves' tools and I am proficient in it, so I can try and pick the lock. So yeah, I would like to make thieves' tools check on the door, please, DM.
You're attempting to open the door with thieves' tools?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Make a thieves' tools check. That's dexterity, isn't it?
And proficiency if you're proficient with them as well.
The tools break and don't fit in.
Oh,
just go all over the place.
Oh, no.
I got
Oh, no.
7.
Yeah, you go to unlock the door. You've done this before. You snuck into many places, but it's weirdly complicated for some reason. Your mind just can't seem to focus. Maybe the weird smell from the pub earlier, and maybe you were really regretting trying to kiss the barman earlier. You're just very distracted.
Yeah, a couple of drinks.
Just can't seem to make it. Yeah, a couple of drinks.
Go around the building to the right. Some lights that direction.
Loop around to the right.
Yeah.
Cool. You loop around to the right. You go past where Ray looked in. Do you stop at that window? Or do you just carry on trying to get around?
I'm going
to
keep checking in basically in every window that we go past with my uber perception.
The next window along, which is 20 feet further to the right, you peer into the window, you see a lounge. It looks very nice. There's a fire, some like chaise longues, some chairs, couches as well. They're all facing each other, so it looks like it's made for conversation. It's flush to the western side of the wall, but there is a painting of a forest. Above the mantle to the north of the room, there's a painting of two figures. Make a perception check to see if you can, like, see, peer in and try to make it out.
So 21 altogether.
Bloody hell. So, yeah, two figures, one male, one female. The female face has been scratched out, that you can tell. The room is well lit, so you can see from outside.
Interesting.
Who do you think that was?
Here's a quick question. Do we just want to get inside the house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, it would kind of like use up what I've got. We can just get in.
Unless we want to check around the outside of the rest of it, but
yeah,
this is going.
I mean, but that seems worth looking at closer.
Let's go in then.
Yeah? Who wants
to... happy to use it?
Ray, come here. And just hold out my hands.
Okay. Right, she goes over.
And then as soon as I can feel Ray, I just shove her and use one of my hidden paths so that one of the Fey pathways so that she is no longer outside of the building. She's inside of that room.
Ooh. Cool. Cool. Did she contest that or...
If she's willing, she doesn't have to, no. And I just obviously talk to Ray, but through Dax, say, when you think it's safe, I'll send everyone else in.
I'll prestidigitate a fart next to Dar.
So I'm kind of very stealthily move around the room and look through doors and see, like, okay, where seems like a safe place? Like, is it safe for them to come in?
Make an investigation check, actually.
That is a 26.
26. Okay, the room is warm, it smells lovely, wood smoke, it's a beautiful room. However, the paintings catch your eye. There is really something about these paintings that make you stop. You know, when you go to an art museum, you're like, huh, that's really struck me. But you look in, like, at the north end, there's the painting of the two figures, and you can see clearly that there's something familiar about the female one. And the male one, you see a kind of like a tall, kind of like light brown skinned man with black straight hair. It's probably about average height. He's wearing, it's kind of like wearing like kind of very fancy robes. And he's carrying a harp. And the two of them look, he looks happy, but the woman's face has been scratched out. But you can see she has deep red hair.
Is that reminding me of Vilya?
You know that Rilia also has red hair.
So it's like, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You can draw those conclusions together if you want. But with the face scratched out, you may be not sure.
Does the happy man look like he's got any scarring on his face?
There is a scar on the man's face from his cheekbone. Like, tracing his jawline to the bottom. It's kind of like, almost like it's engraved into his face. It's quite deep. But he's wearing like a red coat. Leather shoes, ankle length trousers, and he's carrying a harp. The woman has her arm around the man. He looks happy, but the woman's face is scratched out.
Yeah, I kind of like send this to the others and say, I think it's really an errand, and then say the coast is clear, or like in my mind.
I relay all that to the group and then add in, she also says that I'm the best brother. Don't know why she said that.
Yeah, I don't know if she said
ignoring
that.
Ignoring all of this, Mum's like, Doc, can you get us all in?
Yeah, do you want to go first, Mum, or should I leave Dax behind?
I'll go last.
Okay. So I beckon Dax over.
I walk over.
And as he's coming over, I trip him so that he falls into the room.
Oh, God.
Dax, make a dexterity saving throw.
Yes, yes. Oh, it's not good, guys. That's an 8.
So he trips and he falls headfirst into the wall. And just before he's like, he can bonk his head into the wall, he slips through.
I do have to send you first, Mum, because otherwise
I
can't
get
in.
I just was making sure you didn't leave Dax behind.
I wasn't going to leave Dax behind, obviously.
Push me through. Go on, Dar.
All right. And I just sort of, it's more of like a gentle shove.
As
Mum falls through, and then I just sort of step through seconds later. But as I step into the room, I say, and just so you all know, we can't get out that way again.
Okay.
Let's find out what's going on then.
Cool. You're all in the room.
Hopefully we won't need to get out again, because we'll find him and sort stuff out.
Well, we're here for a party, aren't we?
Yeah, here to drink wine and eat cake.
Cool. What are you doing in the room?
Having a good look at the pictures. Can I have a look at the painting of the forest?
Oh,
of course. Yeah, you look at the forest, and you see. Yeah, no, you see a forest, trees. You know John Carpenter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful! I love that art. Like, it's an idyllic countryside. There's like a man with a shotgun, and there's a little dog next to him. You can see far into the distance, the landscape. You can see the weather in the picture. It looks like a cloudy day, but you can just imagine that there's like this air. It feels very real. It's drawing your attention. It really is drawing your attention. Not just that it's a piece of art, but due to your suspicious nature that, you know, there is something particular about this painting, but maybe it's just a good painting.
Does the weather doesn't reflect how it is outside, does it?
No. While it's cloudy in the picture, it's quite clear. Whereas outside, it's like a fake thunderstorm, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Outside.
So the painting looks almost more real.
I said that in as my interpretation of an interesting painting.
Oh, right.
We should step through the painting into the real world. No.
Go for it, Dax.
So what we're looking for is we're looking for Erin Quill. We're looking for Izzy. Let's go.
All right.
Yeah.
Ray, you're leading the way?
I mean, I'm invisible, so maybe one of you can we see. But like, hey.
Do you want to be our lookout?
Is there a light? There's light anywhere I can see?
Yeah, the room is well lit. There's a fireplace on the east side.
Yeah. Are the doors open, closed out of this room?
The door is closed.
Just one door?
Just one door in the west
side. And
that's
the door we're going through.
Cool.
I open it as quietly and as stealthily as I possibly can so that the others can then go through, like the coast is clear.
Sure. Can all of you roll perception checks?
I thought you were going to say initiative.
Fight!
10.
15. Only a 15 for perception.
Only
15.
2.
21.
Cool.
A bit distracted by this painting.
As soon as you stepped into the room, you felt like you were being watched. You can't put a figure on it. You've looked around the room, there's nobody here. You feel like you're being watched. You can't put a finger on it. You are distracted by the painting.
Mm-hmm.
There is something about the painting that's drawing your attention. But the door, you open the door, the door opens quietly.
I'm trying to do it as quiet.
Yeah, you open it, it doesn't make a sound, it just opens quite pleasantly.
Does it seem like the coast is clear?
It's clear, there's no one walking around.
Okay, yeah, come on. What do we all see?
Pop your head out. You see the staircase directly in front of you, maybe about 20 feet northwest of where you are, front to lefty. There's a staircase leading up, like a carpeted staircase. There are two doors, fronty righty, in front of you. One is open, and you can see there's a kitchen beyond, quite clearly, like there's a counter. You can see, like you can hear a faint clicking noise. You assume it's maybe there's somebody in the kitchen. Just further right of that, as you like crane your head around the corner even further, you see the beginnings of you see a door, a red door, and the door is slightly ajar, but that's all you can see from here. And also just around the corner to that is a larger room, double doors that are closed.
My gut's telling me go up the stairs or look into the red room door. Don't know, it's just my gut.
Mysterious red door.
Mysterious red door.
Yeah, let's do the door.
She starts leading the way towards the doors, and just like because she's invisible, she's trying to like open the door but make it seem like it's the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Like sure. As though if anybody saw it, they would kind of just go, "Oh, that's weird. There's a draft," rather than a person's opening. That's what she's trying to do.
I will use prestidigitation to make a puff of wind.
Cool. You do that, Ray. You glide towards this door. As you walk by, you look to your left, you see that there is a human male in the kitchen just preparing food, just like chopping things up and just sorting things out. You continue to the door, the double doors at the end of the corridor.
Double doors or the red door?
The red doors
at the end of the corridor, the double doors, the red. Oh, you're going to the red door, not the double doors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, red the red one.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
The red one was cracked open.
Yeah, you go to the red door that's cracked open. You peer inside.
Yeah.
Cool. And you see that this room is dimly lit by a golden candelabra, and it's resting atop a rectangular dining table that has a silver place at the head of it, which is the opposite end to where you are at the door. You poke your head in. On the east wall, there's a large painting of an opulent banquet. The dining table that you see as soon as you enter can easily see maybe 6 people, but it looks unused. Gathering from what you've heard from the villagers, you know that Quill is quite an isolationist. So as you look at the furthest end of the table, you can kind of tell that like that's probably where Quill sits, as there's a place setting for him there. But there's no one in the room.
So big table that could seat 6, but has just got one place setting and a painting of a table, did you say, as well?
Yes, a painting of a banquet.
Ah, of a banquet.
Mm-hmm.
Can we go investigate the painting of the banquet?
Yeah, sure. Make a insight check. Not insight.
Okay.
Yeah, insight check.
That is a 19.
19. You get the same pulling effect. It's kind of like drawing of your attention that you got back in the lounge. Like, there's something about this painting. And in the painting, you see there are 6 figures within. There is a man. At one point, he's quite young, slick back hair, brown skin, scar on his face. At the other end, there is a woman with red hair, no face.
It's been scratched out again.
Scratched out. There are like three other figures as well. There is like an orcish female, seem to be having a good time, and there is an elvish female at the other end next to the brown skinned man, who is like leaning intently, just listening. Seems like she's listening to what the brown skinned man is saying. But there's a lot of food on the table, but you feel drawn towards the painting.
Any of the rest of you feeling drawn towards this painting?
Yeah.
Are we? Are we all drawn to the painting, or is,
yeah, yeah, if you look at it, if you choose to look at the painting, you feel drawn towards you, like curious, like, what is it about this painting that makes me want to look at it?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, I feel drawn to it.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe it's because I'm hungry. Maybe I should eat one of those cakes.
Maybe you should try eating some of the painting, Dax.
Should we touch it?
Yeah.
Is that a weird thing to do? Yeah, let's go touch the painting.
Maybe not all of us.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll touch it. I don't want you...
Dar's a scaredy dragon, so he won't touch it.
Yeah, he won't touch it.
I'm cautious.
You touch it?
Yeah.
Rox, are you in the lounge, or have you followed, like, Ray?
I've followed Ray in.
All right, cool. You touch it, and can you make a charisma saving throw?
Ooh. Oh, no. Oh, no, mum.
Oh, no. Oh,
21.
21.
Ooh. Yes, mum.
Yay, mummy.
It's like the one thing she can do.
So you feel this pulling feeling, and it feels like it's sucking you. It's eerily familiar to when you first opened the book in the library, and you feel like you're being sucked in. But it doesn't feel overpowering. It doesn't feel violent. With that roll, you have a choice. Do you resist the feeling, or do you go with it?
I'm gonna go with it.
Cool. Who's with? Oh, Ray. Ray, you. As you're looking, Rox,
I think we're all in the room.
You're all in the room?
We've all followed in.
We're all looking at the painting to see if it was having an effect.
Well, you see Rox thin, incredibly thin, swirl around and go into the painting.
Do we follow, Mum?
Yeah.
Two questions. Mm-hmm. Can I see them, and what do I see? Like, can I, like, am I, like, in the painting? Can I see the man and the woman?
Okay.
And my other question is metagaming, so I'm not going to ask it.
That's fine. I'll describe what happens to you then. So, Rox, you find yourself, bang, you've landed in a chair at a banquet. It's a 15-foot-long table. It's covered with loads of dishes, every food you can imagine. There's fish, there's birds, there's fruit, there's vegetables, and it smells incredible. There's like some there's some candied yams to the right of you, but there aren't any people at the table.
So the people that were in the painting aren't there when I'm in it?
No, no. You see the table, and just to your right of you, as you look around, there's a door. There's a wooden door set into the wall. It's quite confined. You're 15 long foot table. When I say there's probably like 10 feet on the side of the table that's free, and there's a wall. You don't see, like, it's not like a window that you can see, like, the other side. It's just a wall. But there's a door there.
And was the door in the painting as we looked at it?
No.
If I wanted to try and get back out of the painting, A, is that something that I can comprehend and try to do, or am I?
I'd say that because you kind of entered this way to get to Wisteria Vale, you know that there must be a trick to get back. It's not like you walked through a door and you could just walk back. You know that. But the door's to the right of you and you entered through the painting. But you try to look back to the way you felt that you could came, and there's nothing there.
So I can't go back, but I know that there is a way back eventually.
Eventually, yeah. I mean, you use your common sense to think there must be a way out of here, right?
Yeah. Then I'll go through the door.
You go through the door. You walk through the door and you merge into a forest. And this forest looks very similar to the painting you saw back in the lounge.
Right, right.
Can you make a perception check, please?
14.
You hear a hissing sound from your right. And you look towards that direction. And you see some bristling in the trees. Uh-huh. And then to your left you hear... And you look around, and there's something's jumped into a bush. And then in front of you, out of two bushes, arise two female forms in long robes, grey skin, long flowing hair, with snakes at the end of it. As they advance towards you, they smile, lick their lips as this long forked tongue just washes it in front of you.
I want to run back through the door I've just came, if that's an option.
The door is not there.
Is there any doors?
No. Not that you can see in your... You're so panicked by these creatures that you can't see any doors. But you see to the northwest of you, there's a house.
I'm going to Eldritch Blast them both and run towards the house.
Then I would say roll for initiative, but end the episode there.
You have been listening to Daryl Bailey as your Dungeon Master, Vicky Gaskin as Rox, David Knight as Dar, Grace Kelly Miller as Ray, and Ben Galpin as Dax. Original music by David Knight. The Tale of Wisteria Vale by Kiana Shaw. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president. You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.